This episode is sponsored by the PVS Studio team. PVS Studio Code Analyzer performs code analysis and issues warnings on code with a high probability of having bugs and potential vulnerabilities. The tool supports C, C++, C Sharp, and Java, and it can work with Visual C++, GCC, Clang compilers, and some of those for embedded systems. The analyzer works on Windows, Linux, and Mac OS, and can be used as a standalone tool and integrated within Visual Studio, IntelliJ, SonarQube, and more. Find links to the PVS Studio website in the show notes at sixfiguredev.com. Hello, and welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
With us today is Isaac Levin. Isaac is an application development manager in Microsoft Developer Support. He has over 10 years of experience working as a developer for the web, mostly in the Microsoft ecosystem. Welcome, Isaac.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Isaac, to get started, would you just give us a little bit of background on sort of how you got started working in the software development field?
Sure, yeah. So I graduated college in about 2010 from a school called Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington. I graduated with an MIS degree, which is basically like information systems. I got a developer job before I graduated college, and then my wife and I did the reverse manifest destiny, moving from Washington State all the way to the East Coast, where I live now in Connecticut. Throughout my career, I've done most of the typical developer type things. You know, I've worked in small organizations where you've done everything. I've worked in larger organizations where you own or develop on one feature. And now I get a chance to work with customers every day, kind of in a consultant type way.
Okay. So what are you working on these days?
Yeah. So my title is Application Development Manager. And basically what that title means, or what this role is it's, I like to think of it as a customer line developer advocate. So what my responsibility is to make sure my customers have the best experience from a developer's perspective they have. So that involves training, that involves proof of concepts, making sure people are knowledgeable about tools, obviously making sure that they take best advantage of what our offerings are, especially in Azure. And all the great things that Microsoft has to offer, which lately has been a lot.
How does that differ from like a evangelist or whatnot?
So I can't speak directly to like what the evangelist role used to be. I believe it's no longer an official title at Microsoft. But
okay.
So my role, it's very much aligned in a support type of way. So I work with customers in a proactive way so they're successful. So I'm aligned to 5 customers currently, and we have cadences where we work through, you know, different initiatives they have and how Microsoft can help them.
Okay, so like a very much a consulting sort of, you have a specific set of customers that you're helping out.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, that's very cool.
And before we started recording, we were kind of joking that you're somewhat known as the application insights guy these days.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how that came to be. I think it's because I'm probably the person that tweets about it the most. So I got started with App Insights when it wasn't really rolled out heavily or wasn't marketed very heavily as a part of my Azure. And I fell in love with the idea of getting more information about our applications. So I got started in that world by working with a tool called AppDynamics, which is kind of a fringe competitor of App Insights. They do different things, but they're in the same APM type of space. APM stands for Application Performance Management Utility. And the biggest thing that I saw was, as developers, the job to figure out what's going on with our apps has always been so challenging, right? Having to parse logs or having to look at memory dumps or having to look at things that aren't readable by a human. And we have done all this work as developers to make it readable. And App Insights, in my opinion, and a lot of other APMs, take all that hard work out of it. You know, so we're talking about instrumenting your code with, you know, a couple of clicks. We're talking about being able to see rich visualizations and reporting tools. We're able to see, you know, point in time debugging. We're able to do things that when I got started, you know, 10 years ago, writing .NET, I literally would cry thinking if we had those sort of things now, right? So, yeah. And I can imagine developers that have been around longer than me have feel of definitely similar feeling.
As we mentioned in our logging episode, I'm fairly ignorant to most of application insights.
Sure.
For other developers like me, in regards to application insights, what can we get out of it more than just? I mean, my view of it has usually been install it so that someone else can look at it.
Sure.
But from a development standpoint, what can we do to utilize App Insights to help our development?
Yeah. So the first thing that I always talk about when I talk about App Insights with, you know, folks when I speak at conferences or when I'm talking to my customers is, what are the things that you do during your day that's not writing code, right? You're usually trying to figure out what's wrong, right? And being able to leverage some tool in your tool belt to figure out what's wrong, whether it be a performance issue, whether it be an exception, or whether it be a user doesn't have the ability to log in. We spend a lot of time as developers just trying to track down the right data to get the answer to that question, right? So that telemetry is being logged for you by App Insights, and you're not having to do a lot of work to do it. And you can just go out to the Azure portal, make a couple of clicks, and see, you know, this user from Bangladesh is getting a 50% performance hit on your application because you don't have CDN properly configured, right? Like, that's an example that I saw Scott Hanselman, who was talking about something like that. He had no idea that people in Bangladesh were even looking at his podcast website. But he knew then that being able to extend that information and take it and come to a resolution with it is something that's very, very valuable, right? So that's one example of something that you can do that would be especially challenging, especially trying to even know.
And does that push your average developer more into the DevOps realm? I know most companies kind of set up DevOps and like, oh, it's the magical word that we're going to use now for people who deploy things.
Sure.
But I mean, that was never its intent. So does that push a normal developer more towards DevOps interaction?
Well, I think so. I think I try not to think about dev or ops or DevOps, even though it's really important for my job to do it. I like to think of it as what, how are you going to bring best value to your end user, right? Does that mean that as a developer, I need to know how to set up continuous integration and delivery? I think so. As an operations person, does that mean that I need to be able to, you know, look at results of test executions and kind of have an idea of what could potentially be the issue? I think so. I don't need to be a developer. I don't need or an IT professional, but I can be somebody that brings value to end users. So I guess the short answer to your question is, yeah, I think as developers are the creeping of scope of our responsibilities is at its highest, right? There was a point in time where developers were doing a lot of database stuff because nobody wanted to work with DBAs. No offense to any DBAs out there. So folks were doing a lot of, writing a lot of SQL queries, writing stored procedures. And then only when things were not performing well, you would then leverage somebody who had an idea how to do indexing and things like that to get you what you needed. And I think a similar thing is happening right now with this whole operations process, right? Developers are being asked to do more because it could be a culture change. Maybe people see developers as more accepting of getting additional responsibilities put onto them. I've just seen throughout my career, especially with roles that I've done, I've been a manager of Windows Server that had IIS on it, not because I enjoyed being an IT pro, but because my app was hosted on IIS, so I needed to know how IIS worked. And then, oh, since you know IIS, you can own this box, right? And I imagine a lot of people have very similar experiences as that.
As I mentioned in our logging and metrics episode, you know, a lot of developers, their first introduction to application insights is the checkbox when creating a new project in Visual Studio. Do you want to include application insights? And many of us, myself included, just ignore that for months, years, whatever. So how do we get people interested and using application insights?
Sure. I think One thing to call out too, I believe that checkbox was the second iteration, right? It used to be turned on by default, I believe, with ASP.NET. I can't remember which version, or maybe it was 2.0, where you would actually, in your program.cs, you would actually see a use application insights extension in the template out of the box. People got a bit concerned about that, you know, forcing of tools on people, and it was brought out. But I think the biggest thing is, from a, how do you get people interested in checking that box, it's what can you do with the data that Application Insights provides? So there's two things to consider when you're using App Insights, right? How much of an investment it is for my organization to check that box. And once that box is checked and there's some data somewhere, like what value does it bring to me? So, you know, to answer the first part, the process of instrumenting App Insights just to get the base level telemetry collection is fairly easy. It's you right click the project in Visual Studio. If it's a new project, you check that box. If it's an app service in Azure, it's as easy as adding an extension. If you have an application deployed locally to IIS, it's just configuring a tool on the IIS box to instrument your app for you. So you don't even need the code. All you have is built code, you can still instrument your app, which is kind of a cool concept to think about. And then the second part of it is when you have that data somewhere, how many times in the past have we had to have somebody else build a report for us, right? When I first started out, there was report engineers, people who were really, really good with CRISPR reports or SSRS. And you would go to them and you'd say, hey, give me, you know, this is the data source. Can you build out a report for me, like a pie chart or something? And being able to do that with a couple of clicks, or you know, with a couple of lines of KQL, which is kind of like a SQL-like language for log analytics, you can create a Power BI report and then send it to whoever you want, and then you're done, right? So it's just dropping the amount of steps needed to get something out the door to people that see the value in it.
So can we elaborate maybe a little bit more on some of the actual value that customers are seeing by turning on App Insights or clients or anyone who's doing this? We talked a little bit about sort of the telemetry that you might see, like in an error state, you know, knowing exactly what's going on or whether, you know, who is actually hitting the website, that sort of thing. But can we talk a little bit about more what kind of value? I mean, ultimately getting to the root of why does someone want to use this?
Sure. So, you know, one example that I gave was the someone who uses my app is having a terrible experience performance-wise because of some reason, right? Like that is, in my example, one thing that's very, very hard to discern, right? First off, you don't know if somebody across the world is using your app. And if you do, you don't know what their experience is. But getting information about, you know, they logged in at this time, you don't have any personal identifiable information, but you have like the region of which, you know, if it's, you know, Bangkok, Thailand, or, you know, London, UK, or even Norwalk, Connecticut, you have where they came from, what they did, and their experience, right? And I think developers, they kind of push away the concept of user experience a lot. And I think being able to have an understanding of what your users are experiencing is really, really valuable. So that's from that's one, right? And then the biggest one, in my opinion, is just, you mentioned a little bit earlier, triaging issues, right? If I have an exception that happens and it's unhandled, how do you fix that without some other tool, right? You look at logs. Maybe you have a login mechanism like Nlog or Log4Net set up on your app. Maybe you parse IIS logs, or maybe you even do something really stupid like attaching Visual Studio to your app in production, right? Doing all those things gets you to where you're trying to go, trying to solve the problem, right? But what if you had the ability to go out to a place, look at the exception, see the call stack, see the local variables that were involved in that situation, be able to download a file that you can open in Visual Studio and get a point in time debugging instance of that? Right? Like that is extremely valuable for everybody, right? You know, going from point A to point B as quickly as possible without all the additional steps is very, very valuable.
So Do you also talked about hooking this up to Azure. Is that a requirement for using Application Insights?
Yeah, and I kind of got right into the meat. So let's take a step back and talk about what App Insights actually is. So App Insights is it's an APM, like I said, application performance monitor management. It's built inside of Azure, but your apps don't need to be hosted in Azure or written in .NET to take advantage of it. So you can have your app hosted in AWS or Google or even on-prem. It can be written in Java, it can be written in .NET, it can be written in Node.js, what have you, right? The only Azure piece to it is that the data is sent to Azure. So think of App Insights as a REST API. Right, so you make requests to it, and then it aggregates that data in a particular way, makes it consumable on the back end, and the back end being Azure. So your application calls into the service. The service then uses machine learning to build trends and visualizations for you, and then it gives you access to the raw data. So if you're not in Azure, you will need an Azure subscription to take advantage of App Insights. If you're already in Azure, it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. If you're not in Azure and you're concerned about the cost for App Insights is pretty minimal. So you get, 5 gigabytes of putting data into it and taking data out of it of that, and it's all in JSON data because the data store behind the scenes is NoSQL. So what you have is in and out of 5 gigabytes for free. If you want any additional gigabytes, it's $2.30 per additional gigabyte. So from a cost perspective, it's pretty minimal. However, I will make the call out. If you're not in Azure, you need Azure to take advantage of it. You do have the ability in Visual Studio to instrument your application without actually calling into Azure. So you can actually take a look at what the API is doing and seeing some of the data that's coming across for local debugging experiences. So that gives you the ability to test run App Insights without having to make the commitment of putting your stuff in Azure.
So a few of the things that you've mentioned just now and a minute ago have me kind of wondering. Normally, when we think App Insights, we're thinking C# code.
Sure.
So I've got a web API,
yep.
So I'm going to put App Insights on it, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put App Insights on like a front-end SPA? Like Blazor would be an excellent choice, but... Angular or React or something like that?
So for static websites, there is a JavaScript snippet that you can put in your apps. Think of like a Google Analytics similar snippet, right? Where it has your instrumentation key, which is the mechanism that's used to identify your resource. It's like a GUID or GUID, depending on what your practice is. And so you have that. And also there's a handful of good libraries that have been built for App Insights for Angular, for instance. I know that the gentleman that owns Angular Universal or one of the gentlemen that owns Angular Universal, he's written an App Insights wrapper for Angular. I think he keeps it up to date all the time. And I know there's similar things for React and I think even classic, just regular Node as well. So SPAs, yes, regular JavaScript. So for instance, on my personal blog, isaaclevin.com, I have App Insights on there, and it's a static site hosted in Hugo, right? And I'm getting telemetry information about that all the time. And then there's, if you have compiled code, there's SDKs that are owned by either Microsoft or by the community for almost every programming language you can think of.
Wow. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
I've been putting App Insights to pretty good use on one of the projects I'm working on these days. So I've already found some bottlenecks and some parts of the application that I needed to address some performance concerns. And just today, one of the vendors that was hitting one of our APIs was constructing the route incorrectly and trying to hit an endpoint that effectively didn't exist. So up to about 1500 times. So we got an automated message from Azure, from App Insights saying that there's unusual failure rates in our application. So it was a big help in identifying that there was a potential problem somewhere. It ended up being just a misconfigured route, but that was potentially a big win for us.
Yeah, and the point that I want to make with that is the vendor never contacted you, right?
Right.
So you set up an alert saying, hey, if I get X amount of exceptions, you know, that are related in a particular way, send me an email or a text message. And it does. So you never had to interface with the end user at all. You said, hey, this route is wrong. And, you know, you reached out and said, hey, it looks like you're making some odd requests. You know, please reach out to further, you know, identify or whatever, right? So being proactive in the way that we can solve problems is very valuable too. Like, we don't have the luxury sometimes as developers to talk to the end users ever, right? But we can get an idea of what the end users are doing. And that's extremely valuable, especially there's nothing more satisfying to me than finding a bug before it's reported to me and fixing it before anybody knows about it, right? Like, that's a very satisfying thing because I know that I've saved myself time in the future, which I value very highly as time in the future.
So what more should customers be aware of and clients be aware of? You know, what can we take to potential clients and customers and say, these are the tools that we use. This is the instrumentation that we're used to. These are the offerings that are in Azure that maybe we could look to exploit. Maybe is a bit of an odd word to use, but you know, what are the additional items that we should be looking at?
You're talking about with App Insights or just Azure in general?
Both.
Sure. Well, one thing that I can talk about Azure in general a long time too. But one thing to just call out with App Insights is it collects a lot of telemetry out of the box, right? So page views and request information and dependency stuff. So for instance, out of the box, you can actually see the SQL going through for entity framework calls, which is really valuable. So yeah, you can see things like dependency calls, which are really valuable, right? For instance, if you see a performance tick and you're like, here's the process all the way down from it hits the API and then it goes through some stuff and then it hits the database, you can look at the database call and you can see the database call is taking 700 milliseconds to return. And you're like, that's way too slow. And you can look at the raw SQL that gets generated and say, okay, well, this query is not structured properly, right? So that's extremely valuable. One thing as well that's really valuable is that just because App Insights collects some data doesn't mean that it can't collect all the data, right? So since it is NoSQL, you can specify anything you want in your schema. So for instance, if you have an application that has particular business data that you want to be able to log in a particular way, you have the ability to do that. One example that I always use is that I worked at a consulting firm and we built kind of a YouTube for the enterprise for one of our customers. So it was inside of SharePoint. It was an Angular application and they wanted to be able to post training videos and then get metrics back on who viewed them and where, right? So we used Application Insights to get data about, you know, where the user watched the video, you know, what kind of device it was, also how long they watched the video, whether they watched it in full screen mode, you know, a lot of rich data about just the video itself that App Insights wouldn't collect by default. So being able to add that data into your App Insights collection is very valuable too, right? It's not just telemetry, boring data about your app. It's literally anything that you want you can put in there.
What about pulling that information out of App Insights? I know you mentioned like Power BI and that sort of thing, but can you like pull it into, say, like another data time series database or like something like a Kafka and then like have Elasticsearch like searching over top of it? Or, you know, how difficult is it to sort of use some other solutions and integrate it with maybe other tooling that you have?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that you can do as well, just as a precursor to that. So one of the things about App Insights is really important to call out too is that the data is only stored for 90 days. So that's not very valuable in the long run, but you have the ability to export that data out to blob storage. So you can put all that flattened JSON data into an Azure blob store. And then from there, you can do whatever you want. You can hook up Kafka to it. You can massage that data into a relational structure. It's just JSON in a folder, right? So being able to, you know, export it to anywhere from is what you can do. And that counts, taking it out and using continuous export is part of the out of the 5 gigabytes. But there's also a REST API for getting the data out of App Insights as well. So if you want to be able to get it from programmatically in code, you have the ability to do so as well.
So are there any cool features that are upcoming that we should maybe be on the lookout for?
I think one of the biggest thing that I'm that I see, and this goes back to, I didn't answer your question about cool things in Azure in general, but so when Visual Studio 2019 was rolled out, we showed a preview of time travel debugging, which basically gives you the ability to step back and forth against a production application, right, without it affecting production. Right now, that's only available for VMs hosted in Azure and .NET applications. But that's one thing that I'm excited to see become generally available, and then more workloads being added to it, right? So being able to debug a point in time is very valuable, but being able to step forwards and backwards in real time is extremely valuable, as one might imagine. And you have something like that already available with Snapshot Debugger, which, you know, gives you the ability to kind of go forward and backward, or gives you ability to real time debug. But going forwards and backwards is something you can't currently do, and that's what time travel debugging allows you to do. So that's something that's pretty exciting. You know, think of it similar as just doing a debugging experience, but you're, instead of your application being on your machine, it's hosted in an Azure VM.
And we've got a question from the Twitch channel from Santosh Hari. Can Isaac talk about annotating of releases from Azure DevOps pipelines and viewing that in App Insights metrics?
I sure can, because I actually know Santosh. So hi, Santosh. So one of the cool things that you can do with App Insights is, as a part of your continuous integration and continuous delivery process, you can actually set release numbers there in that process. So for instance, every single time you do a commit, you can actually append a particular number to that release, and that release gets forwarded through to Log Analytics. So you could actually run a Log Analytics query that says, give me all the exceptions for release 3 of this application, which is extremely valuable for a lot of reasons, right? You can say, oh, why is there, you know, 15% more exceptions with this release versus previous releases, right? And then you can, you know, go from there pinpointing what the actual issue is.
Yeah, so you could absolutely see if maybe you didn't have a particular bug or error happening until a particular release or after a particular release, right?
Yeah, being able to find regression testing, you know, being able to determine what happened as a part of regression testing is really valuable that way too, right? So, oh, it looks like we introduced a whole new area of exception with, you know, release 4. What do we do in release 4 that could potentially cause exceptions in this area? And then you could pinpoint it back to a particular work item. And then you can actually, inside of the Azure portal, create a work item in Azure DevOps. You know, there's tons of integration between all of Microsoft's tools, as one would imagine. So it's just another thing that you can do to add more tools to your tool belt. And I talk about App Insights being great, but I think all these tools are really awesome. And a lot of people ask me, like, why should I use this over AppDynamics or over New Relic or other APMs that currently exist? And it's not my job to convince someone to use one tool or the other. It's to make them aware of a particular tool and show them the value of it, and then help, and then, you know, answer any questions that I can as they make the decision themselves. I'm not in the intimidating and with information until you make the decision I want business. I'm in the, you know, customer success business. And if you're successful with our tools, great. If not, maybe you could potentially use it as a tool in your tool belt when you need it. And I think that's the biggest thing to consider.
Yeah, I really like that Microsoft has taken the effort out of a lot of this. Like, you know, there are other tools, yes, but you're going to have to put forth some effort, sure, into installing them, configuring them, learning about them. You know, it was years and months of being bugged and what is this checkbox in the sure, new project solution, and finally diving into App Insights and seeing that this is really easy to get started, and it has already provided very beneficial information.
Yeah, no, I think that's you hit the nail on the head. That's all you need to consider, right? Like, will it bring value to your application? I think so.
To kind of move towards the closing portion of the show, one of the things we ask all of the guests is to kind of give some words of wisdom, that, you know, some specific kind of advice for people who might be just getting started. What would you like to tell those particular people? What kind of advice would you give them?
The best advice that I could probably give is the advice that I don't really follow, and that's being patient, right? So at times I'm a pretty impatient person. But I think about when I get impatient, I think about how hard, much harder something would be without particular item. Sure, being a developer at times is very hard, but what would happen if you didn't have some of the tools that we have as developers? Like, I've been very fortunate in my career to see tons of tools introduced to the developer world to make our lives easier. Like when I first got started, like GitHub wasn't a thing. Now GitHub is a thing. You know, VS Code wasn't a thing. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. And being able to use tools, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, right? Take advantage of the things that you have. And that usually level sets me, because when I do get impatient, I tend to just say, why isn't this work? This should just work. You know, I jokingly said, this is a little, you know, this is a throwback to before we started recording, but I was having audio issues and I said, it's 2019 and we still can't get microphones to work, right? So same thing, right? Like if you're getting impatient about something, think about, okay, well, what if you didn't have the ability to talk? What if I had to write everything on a piece of paper and show it to the screen, right?
How about resources for people who like maybe are looking into application insights and trying to figure out, I mean, it's a fairly easy installation process, but for people that are trying to figure or find out more about it or trying to go through some tutorials or something, do you have any resources you might be able to point them towards?
Sure. I think the first place you should go is docs.microsoft.com/Azure/Azure Monitor. So Azure Monitor is the overlying suite that Application Insights is a part of. I think that's a great first place to start. It'll show you everything from how to get started, you know, in Visual Studio, how to get started with code, how to extend it, different programming languages other than .NET. That's a great option. Personally, what I like to do is I like to poke around at the App Insights SDKs to get an understanding of what's actually occurring behind the scenes. You know, I'm a developer, so I like playing around and looking at some code. So being able to do that is pretty valuable. There's also great content about App Insights on Channel 9. You know, I know that the On.NET show has had a couple of really good episodes. Shameless plug, I was in one of them. But I think, you know, there's plenty of resources out there. I think that this might be the reason why, you know, there's not a lot of talk about App Insights out in the world. It's because there's so much content already available that, you know, you read about it, and then you're good to go.
Cool. And then if people would like to follow you specifically, what other social media, Twitter, where can they find you?
Sure. So I'm on Twitter and GitHub, Isaac2004. I decided to choose that name, unfortunately, and now I'm at a point where I'm too lazy to kind of change it. I do have a website, isaaclevin.com, where I blog occasionally. But Twitter's usually the best place to get me, because I'm always, you know, stalking my friends on Twitter. So.
And then another thing, do you have any upcoming speaking engagements or anything that you'd like to announcer?
Oh boy, do I. No, I'm I'm speaking at that conference in the Wisconsin Dells in next month.
Okay.
I'm speaking at Music City Code in Nashville in September. I probably have some other engagements as well. But yeah, I like to do the speaking thing because it helps me get an understanding of what people are doing. Because when you work with customers all day, you only get half the story, but when you actually go into a place and you talk to developers, the developers tell you the real story. So it's really valuable.
All right. Thanks, Isaac. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
That was Isaac Levin.
Isaac is an application development manager in Microsoft Developer Support. He has over 10 years of experience working as a developer for the web, mostly in the Microsoft ecosystem. If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others to reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.